Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the where the hell are we? We're at the Flipping Made Easy studio in Matawan, New Jersey. Your host Dirch and Gooch, and of course it's another Tuesday. That means it is the end of an NFL week, but guess what? Rest assured, we have another one, so don't be alarmed. Week 13 is upon us. Week 12 ends last night. I mean, it was just, we'll get into it, but it was terrible from the entire...
It was a shitty game to watch.
At the end had my heart racing. We'll get into that in a second. But first and foremost, I definitely want to give a shout to my friend Lindsay Sally doing a 2021 Family Gift Assistance Project. Guys, if you have the time and you have the extra spare change or whatever, you know, think about somebody else except your goddamn self this year and go help out my friend Lindsay. She's doing a really good thing for a really good cause. It's very, intimate. So it's a intimate thing where it's not like this big old, just Red Cross, whatever.
It's not the Salvation Army.
Right. So, where these gifts are going. Go adopt a family. We appreciate it. We definitely give you guys mucho respect. Gooch, how you feeling today? I know you said you were tired. You all right?
I'm a little tired, but I'm good. I mean, good? We're getting there. I'm not necessarily through my Monday hangover yet.
You have a busy day on Mondays, man. Jimmy got out of here in a respectful time. He was like, all right, guys, I see you. It was 3:30. I was like,
and Tommy was even here at a normal time.
Yeah, but it's just a long day.
It's just exactly. It's a long day.
I
had to record the Packers Pulse yesterday as well, so it was a four recording day for me.
Yeah. I mean, with that, we have a brand new podcast available today, the Jimmy Palumbo Show, episode 38, which total disrespect to my boy, Roy Williams, played for the Cowboys, changed his number from 31 to 38. I know nobody would think about that. Nobody would say that. You took friggin' Tremont Edmonds or Williams.
Williams.
Oh, my God. Like, you couldn't even have... You couldn't search for a worse player.
I would say that he probably had a better career than Roy Williams did.
Roy Williams invented the horse collar tackle, okay?
Yeah, but the point that I'm making is I think Tremont Williams was a fifth-round draft pick. I know Roy Williams, there was some steep draft capital used on a player of that name coming out of college. And if you look at the grand scheme of things, I would take Tremont Williams over Roy Williams.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Roy Wrong Angle Williams is what we called him at the Sturch House because that's all he did. The ball was up, he looked the other way, and he would get torched. That was Jimmy Palumbo Show available now. The Packers Pulse available. MMA will be available later on today. There will be a new episode of All About the Star. I'm bringing in a guest. New overhead lighting. Not right now. We'll get that done.
Shitty Mets podcast. Now, the Mets podcast is not shitty, but the Mets are shitty.
It was an emergency podcast. John Sapanero, Matt Ibanez, they got on the sticks, and they started talking about Max Scherzer. To touch on that real quick, what are the Yankees doing, man? I mean, I always compare the two.
I saw news this morning about the Yankees.
Yeah, they were talking. They were in trade talks with the team that just landed Seager. Who just landed Seager for that money?
Was it Texas?
No, maybe it wasn't Texas then. Maybe it was I don't know. There's a shortstop that's available for trade. And instead of going for the one big one or one of the big ones like Story or any of the other, on Correa.
The reason why I have an issue with that is because I understand maybe saving the money at shortstop and putting a guy there that you know could field well and is going to get he's going to get his hits. But the prize free agent that the Yankees should have been in on by saving the shortstop money is now on the Mets. So I don't really know what they'd be saving the money for next offseason. I've been hearing that for the last 5 years. So
I never lived in a world as a Yankee fan my entire life where they were afraid of a luxury tax. You know, that's literally
it's been the last 4 or 5 years.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like we've been living in this, we've been going in circles every offseason. I mean, like there was trade talks. There's some trade talks about Gary Sanchez being shipped down to Miami, right? So I'm like, all right, do it.
Oh, but he would kill it down there.
But then think about this. The catcher market is not that lucrative right now. You know what I mean? So it's like, what do we do?
We're stuck with Sanchez.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You have to roll with what you got. And that stinks because, you know, what they have has not been producing. And all these other teams are getting better. Texas with the Seager signing. The Tigers are signing Baez this morning. So that's another thing. So that's a massive deal for them.
I don't want anything to do with Baez, though.
But he's still a good ball player. I mean, I would have took him. If the Yankees would have said, hey, we signed Javi Baez,
It would be like mid-August, and Javi Baez would be batting like .220. He would have a long swing, a lot of strikeouts. He just doesn't fit with the Yankee lineup. I don't want Baez.
All right. Well,
good riddance.
The comments coming in. AJ Bascon, good morning, Vietnam. What's going on, brother? Good morning, guys. From Jack, Nick said it was a perfectly played, beautiful game. I was at the football equivalent of Casablanca to the Jets fan. We'll get into that. But first of all, before we get into that, well, you know what? Let's just go into it because that's what we just watched. The Washington football team get the win last night, 17-15 over the Seattle Seahawks. We both missed on our pick. We'll leave it at that. As far as who we picked for this game, we both thought Russ was going to cook, right? I thought that there's no possible way that Russell Wilson would let this happen where the team drops to 3-8. I've never seen, you've never seen, none of us have ever seen a worse Seattle team under the tutelage of Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. We've never seen it. Is it the run game that they're lacking? Is it like the fact that DK Metcalf wasn't targeted? And shout out to AJ, right? Me and AJ went back and forth on Twitter, and I said he did his props, right? And he hit on one. He hit on the under on DK Metcalf because he's had such a piss poor last couple weeks. And I'm like, I need DK Metcalf for fantasy purposes to fall off the team bus because if he gets anything, I'm going to lose. I was down 2 points to my dad, and I was like, I was up 2 points. To my dad. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, it's going to be over in the first drive. He'll get 30 yards and I'll be and toast.
It's funny what's about to be posted here. Because, Dave, please tell me you won with DK only getting 2.4. Now, the funny thing is he did win and DK didn't get 2.4 in Dave's league because Dave has the archaic rules of no points per reception. So Dave did, in fact, win.
I won because of his archaic non-PPR rules. PPR and there's no fraction points. So he got one. He had 13. Right. He had a one. He had 13 yards. And that's all he got.
But then if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, if you add up all the other fraction points and the ones for everyone else, then you might have won handily. It might not have been because of that. So you have to actually do a little deep dive into seeing the semantics there.
I had a clean sweep in fantasy. I'm very excited. It's only happened twice out of 12 weeks. I know you swept completely.
Clean sweep in fantasy, clean sweep in betting. And I know that I didn't say that I was going to. I said that I wasn't going to say this on the podcast, but I even faded myself, and I bet Washington football.
Stop doing that, bro. Like, you got to stop. Like, if we're making picks
it's unbelievable.
On the show, people are looking
I know.
Us. But, I mean, we're not the sauce, but like,
here's the thing.
We give credibility.
What I should start doing is saying, like, well, look, nobody's going to our show for the picks. I think there's entertainment value in it and the analysis. I don't think anybody's, like, riding me and being like, wow, Chris is 3 games under .500 this year. I should start fucking picking what he picks.
Fade the gooch.
Right? So, you know, I would say that I'll start going on to social media and posting that I'm changing my pick, but really, that doesn't matter. I'm not tracking it yet, and maybe there will be a day, early as next year, where I do start tracking my picks a little bit better. But
the Gooch on the Sauce Network, you think he'd be one of his henchmen over there? He's got prop guys, he's got NHL guys, he's got baseball guys. Like, he might need another guy.
I'm not sure that I would be able to give my full go of handicapping a sport, but like I feel like I have a
Why don't you and the pick fish combine knowledge? Guys could do UFC picks together.
Well, that'd the UFC cool. picks, I feel like I don't like making UFC picks because there's too many. The odds on the UFC, it's not like you can't bet it 50-50 like you can in the NFL.
True.
Where the point spread kind of makes it a dart throw.
That's right. You're right.
In fights, it's either a money line or a heavy favorite, or you could try and pick the rounder method. But no, I'm not into. What do I got? A sharp eye. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
See, look at that. But a question about the game, going back to it. Scoop Espo asks, do you think Russ has peaked and this is on his downturn? Look, I mean,
no.
Some of those throws, man, were very, very off. And when I say very off, the guys weren't even turning around. Like they weren't on the same page, but these are all the same guys. Like Lockett had a great first half, right? He had 96 yards, I think it was, in the first half. And I'm like, and I'm playing him in another league, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose this game. But I had Gibson. My boy Gibson got me the win on that one. Our boy collectively Gibson did well. But anyway, so I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, Russ is like, I don't know, man. It's like some of these throws, is it the offensive line? There's so many factors when a quarterback is struggling. But when you're 3-8, you're now on the bottom feeders of the league now, which is not like you are in the conversation with Detroit and the Jets.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that's pretty crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And I credit to Washington because I think Washington's going to, right now, with the win, they're in the playoffs, which is nuts.
This is the Washington football team episode, by the way. We have a lot to cover with the Washington
football
team. Oh, yeah,
definitely. There is a lot to cover.
Because they are, in fact, now a playoff team if the season ended today, which I find fascinating. All the fucking shit talk, all the injuries, Fitzpatrick is really the main injury.
Are you in on Taylor Heineke making plays like he does. He's got this Brett Favre mentality that was his favorite player growing up. He's playing like
him. The best thing we could say about Taylor Heinicke is that he is to Washington football team what the Jets hoped Mike White would be to the Jets. Whereas,
like, just a lightning in a bottle.
I think that you're going to see a Gardner Minshew situation out of Taylor Heinicke, where he basically earned himself a chance to compete for the starting job, no matter who they bring in next year, unless they're able to land some guy that's clear cut starter.
Yeah, I'm Lewis Riddick, by the way.
Oh my God, Lewis Riddick,
he's the worst. I was very depressed to find out. I was talking to Jay Silverberg right before the game. He's like, "Yo, is there a Manning cast tonight?" And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't really, like, opened up the TV to see, like, the dial, you know, to see what's on. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's not. And I was like, this game's unwatchable. Like, there's no way. But I was talking to him before the game, and Lewis Riddick comes on, and they showed Logan Thomas after Heinicke did something last year. Logan Thomas lifted up his jersey and had, like, a Heinicke shirt saying legend, right? And Riddick was like, let's all pump the brakes on the legend. I'm like, Can you get younger for a second?
We are pumping the brakes on it, buddy. We're not actually all
right.
Out
that's
here.
What I'm saying. It's, like, Mike White was a legend for
ingest.
2 weeks.
It's ingest.
Good Lord, like a Captain Literal man over there. Just and again, once again, for the upteenth week in a row, I can't tell the difference between him and Greasy when they're talking.
Don't think that Russell Wilson is done. When you say done, maybe
he might be on a downward.
Definitely done this year, but no, man. Look, he's how old is Russ? He's not that old.
They're gonna blow it up?
No. When you say blow it up, I mean, there's not much to blow up.
No, there's a big, there's a decent already, offense over there.
They've already been blown up. I don't think that they're really at risk of losing anybody. Maybe DK. I think Lockett signed. They're not going to trade Russ. So you can get that out of your head, Giants fans, honestly.
I don't think the Giants fans. My dad said trade him to New York would be the best thing to happen to us, considering how bad he played.
No.
And I don't agree with that at all.
Russell Wilson, I'm pretty sure he dislocated and had a serious injury on his middle finger on his throwing hand, right?
Yeah.
So the last thing that touches the
football.
He did say
he was 96%.
Yeah, what's he going to say?
I'm just saying. That's what he said.
Those are his words, not mine. Maybe he doesn't feel it, but when it comes to getting a feel for throwing the football and the timing of things and the zip, the last finger to leave the football is your middle finger.
He's 33 years old, man. Like, it's not like he might be on the wrong side of 30 here.
Yeah, but Russ hasn't. We're talking about NFL quarterbacks.
Yes.
Right? Every NFL quarterback is 33 or older at this point, I feel like.
Dak Prescott's 28 or something like that, so.
The point that I'm making is Russ has largely avoided contact in his entire career. For a little guy, he's...
Yeah, but how long is he going to be able to do that?
Very few hits. Well, it's not. It wasn't really like he's getting beat up. I don't think Russ's offensive line is holding up per se, but I don't think that's really the issue. It's his accuracy and just the timing. He looks way off as far as his rhythm goes.
I think from a Seattle Seahawks standpoint, Nick Schein's chiming in as well. He says the Seattle new GM, coach, and quarterback, brand new start. They might blow this up because, look, if you think back of what this GM has done, it's almost as if he's like, I don't like these draft picks. I don't need any of this shit. Like, let's just get rid of all the draft picks. Let's get Jamal Adams, who, by the way, his second interception of his life last night.
Well, that's also part of the downfall here in Seattle because it's not like they have a bunch of draft picks early to go. You know, Jamal Adams, he's just not worth it for all that capital, and it's starting to show because outside of the pick gift that that Rodgers threw up in the end zone, he hasn't picked the ball off in his entire career, right? He's a good hitter, but he's one-dimensional. He's like an undersized linebacker to me, and they gave up way too much capital. That really was the beginning of the downfall for the Seattle Seahawks, I think, because they just don't have the money to pay these guys. You got Russ barking a little bit this past offseason. I think that's more media making a big deal out of nothing. Mm-hmm. But usually when there's smoke, there's fire. I could almost imagine there being at least a little bit of controversy this offseason with Seattle. But
yeah.
I think that cooler heads will prevail and the Seahawks will be back next year with Russ, with Pete Carroll. There might be a couple things that take place on the roster, but largely the core will be together.
Okay. Did you see that last play, the 2-point conversion?
I did.
DK was running wide open.
I was
panicking. I was like, he's right there. In the replay, I see him waving his arm. I'm like,
that would have
shit.
Been a tough pass to make, though.
It wasn't. Not really. If he led him to the right corner, he was running free. And DK is one of the fastest freaks in the world.
It's still like DK was streaking across the back of the end zone you're talking about towards the right pylon.
Yes.
Russ just, he would have had to shift his body. I definitely know what you're saying, but know what you saw. But the way Russ was throwing, I thought Russ should have just tried to run it. But there was two linebackers spying him, so.
Oh, there's the second contract talk. Here comes the sauce. Seattle goes to the Super Bowl back-to-back years. Then they pay Russ. Hasn't sniffed it 7 years since. Don't give quarterbacks second contracts. I don't agree with that. So second contracts, Kyle. So
So the contract that Dak is on right now.
No, that's his first, technically, if you think about it.
No.
His rookie deal is his rookie deal. What? He's a fourth-round rookie. There was no money.
His rookie deal is his first contract, and his second contract is his next deal.
I understand.
That's what he's getting at, though. That's like, I'm only saying
so what? When the rookie deals are up, just let him go?
I mean, if you look at the history, and he does have a lot of good points here, there's never been a quarterback that is in the free agency era that has won a Super Bowl on his second contract without having restructured. So basically,
Tom Brady doesn't count because he restructured all the time.
Peyton Manning going to Denver doesn't count. Peyton Manning winning with Indianapolis doesn't count because they were given the extension but then have subsequently, in the years since, failed and then had to really go back in and kind of figure it out, give the quarterback some money on the front end and then
I just think things. That's like a broad statement, like, don't give quarterbacks out. I'm like, yeah, you have to. If that's your guy, you have to.
For Rodgers. For appeasing the fan base,
What about that? What about Rodgers?
I mean, what are we talking about here?
He won the Super Bowl, right?
No, he did not.
He didn't win a Super Bowl?
He didn't win it on his second contract. That was his final year of his rookie deal. Look,
and then they gave him a second contract. He hasn't been back. So he falls under this category, too.
That's the point. That's terrible. Like everybody
does. Like this, though. I don't like this conversation. I don't like that. I don't like the don't give the – if that's your franchise quarterback, you give the man the second contract.
And when the Packers win this year, it's going to stand true again. Because
there you go.
Because he's been restructured now like 38 times in the last offseason alone. So.
Win the Super Bowl.
It pretty much guarantees the Cowboys won't win the Super Bowl, essentially. So
go ahead, sleep on him. Sleep on him now. I will say this. This is actually pretty funny. And this is, every single quarter. I mean, look, Kyle's trying to bring it up that it's a proven fact.
I've actually butted heads with Kyle on this and brought up several quarterbacks, but then had done my own research within the argument that I was having. And I say argument, I mean like Facebook banter.
And what?
And I brought up the Peyton Manning thing, and then really he just brings up the technicality, but it really is the truth where it's like you have to restructure because you have to free up some money. It's just that simple.
Crazy. You know what's even crazier? The current draft order. Before we get into the playoff picture, like obviously this game comes and goes and, you know, the Washington football team gets it done, and not only do they get it done, they are officially in the playoffs right now, which is crazy. But here is the current draft order. Obviously, you got the Lions and you got the Texans up at the top, and I believe somebody else jumped. But here's 4 through 9. Ready for this,
Jaguars?
Gooch? I said the Jaguars and the Lions. Oh, here we go. So the Jaguars, somewhere in the mix, Jaguars, Lions, Texans, right? 1, 2, 3. However you want to spin that. Ready for 4 through 9? Jets, Giants, Eagles. back to back. That's insane to me. Like, if it ended right now, 4 through 9 is just the Jets and the Eagles, the Jets, the Giants, and the Eagles. That's ridiculous. It won't end like this, obviously. Look, the Seattle Seahawks have the same record as the New York Jets. Jamal Adams was begging to get out of there to go to a winner, and now he's got the same record as the New York Jets. It's poetic justice.
And there's a pretty much a strong case that the Jets pick is actually after. Like, the Jets pick is the actual fifth pick, and Seattle's is the third or the fourth, I think.
Right. Probably. Yeah. Right now, who knows? I don't know. Like, I'm sure strength of schedule or common opponent, whatever the hell. But, like, it's nerve-wracking as a – if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, you got the Giants and the Eagles getting two top 10 picks each, right? So you would hope that they just fumble it. Now, we said this conversation yesterday. Those picks aren't going to be Gettleman's, right? There's a new GM who's about to inherit.
Could you imagine the Giants going into another offseason, another draft with Gettleman as the GM, with all the blunders that he's made up to this point, and then having two picks in the top 7 or even maybe in the top 5 at this point? Who knows how it's going to shake out? And them actually giving Gettleman the keys to the draft again?
Insane. I can't see it. There's no way. But let's stay on the Washington football team for just one more second, because there's something that you told me about. I couldn't even put my bag down, and you're like, dude, this is happening. So RG3 back in the news, right? So RG3 was a quarterback of the Washington Redskins when they were the Redskins, and then obviously he was a journeyman, and he finished his career over in Baltimore. He's writing a book entitled Surviving Washington. Yikes. Like, what is this thing?
I feel like the title's a little cringe, but I understand the angle that they're going with here.
He's going with this.
Yeah, well, they're meaning like his people, because they're definitely right. The way that they're selling this book is like they're playing the victim here, which in some cases RG3 was definitely a victim. And he talks about how in the plug that I saw him make for the book, he talks about how they mishandled his injury situation, the truth behind what happened on the sideline when they told him to go back in the game, which I thought was hands down one of the worst decisions by Mike Shanahan
he was hurt?
In his history of his coaching career. Yeah, in the Seattle playoff game, like his knee was completely destroyed. He was never the same again.
Talk about player safety. Somebody's about to get roasted, very unfortunate
in the RG3's case when it comes to the way his career shaped up. But he talks about the sexual abuse or the sexual assault scandals or the sexual misconduct. I'm not exactly sure what they're calling it over in Washington because we don't know. Because the only thing we ever heard about anything in Washington was somehow John Gruden. It had nothing to do with Jay Gruden, the head coach them at some point, but he wasn't the coach for RG3, though.
I can't wait till John Gruden sues Roger Goodell. I can't wait.
He is suing him.
Well, I can't wait till that all starts to come to fruition.
I don't know, man.
Like, Roger Goodell, okay, by far, and large and leaps and bounds, is the worst commissioner in all of sports. And it was proven again yesterday, right? There was multiple things that have happened in this season in particular where it warrants either a flag or a fine or a suspension, right? I don't like turning this all into Dallas Cowboys stuff, and I'll talk about it on my podcast because that's the form I got. But Tristan Hill being suspended for two games for his punch post game is complete garbage. Why? Because I watched Aaron Donald choke slam somebody like the Big Show. And then I watched, did you see Thielen get ass punched by, not Thielen. Yeah, Thielen. Somebody was on the ground. Oh, Josh Norman. Bang, just one shot, right? And then you got TJ Watt punching the shit out of somebody trying to pop the ball out, right? Which, again, that's football. I get it. But, like, these are instances. Kadarius Toney.
You know what I'm going to say.
Kadarius Toney, bro.
You know what I'm going to say, right?
Because it's Cowboys?
Because
that's what I think.
I think that's your angle. And there might be some truth to that with the whole Jerry Jones.
They've hated Jerry since 95, brother.
The Cowboys and the Raiders are definitely on the shit list. But the Cowboys make a lot of money for the league, so I don't know how much they might actually really hate them. But I just think that the suspension came because it was not within the lines. It wasn't within the game. You know, if you're an emotional player and something happens on the field and someone grabs your face mask and you punch them back, they're not going to suspend you. But once the game is over and you got 12 guys on one knee praying in one corner, and then you got a bunch of guys changing jerseys, and it's like the feel is no longer competitive, and it's like shake hands, get into the locker room, everybody made it through this one safe, you can't throw a punch, because if he throws that punch in the street and the cops are there, it's worse than a 2-game suspension. He's arrested for assault. So I get it. You can't assault somebody. It shouldn't be that you can assault somebody either. Now, talking about Aaron Donald's rapidly rising my list of scumbag pieces of shit in the NFL.
He's like right up there with Sue, right?
Well, Sue's
cleaned it up a little
bit. As a Packer fan, look, Aaron Donald, I don't really have anything bad to say about the guy through and through. I've seen him carry himself well for the most part. I haven't noticed anything, but it could just be a media thing. Look, because last year in the playoffs, he had Elgton Jenkins and another lineman by the face mask each. Now, that's in a playoff loss. I could understand it. But in this case, you got the Lucas Patrick by his throat. The ref is literally pulls your hand off when there's no flag. I need to see more consistency out of the NFL. Roger Goodell should be coming down on that ref crew because the Packers lost games this year because I thought of poor officiating. I'm not going to sit here and make
Welcome
the
to
excuses.
Thanksgiving.
I'm not going to make excuses, but in a game that could have been close against a really dangerous team like the Rams, who they didn't really threaten that much late, but if that penalty that should have been called could have completely shut down any chance that they had at a comeback. So the ref's got to be consistent with that shit.
I don't know. Kyle is officially a Goodell jockstrap rider. I will say, he goes, I'm not a Goodell fan. I will say that the NFL as a whole organization has done very well under his tenure. Defined very well, you know, like lucrative money. I know they just signed the new TV deal.
Do you know, yes, that's all business. Do you know what Roger Goodell's job is, more so than anything, is to protect the NFL owners and protect the shield.
I get
and
it.
And the shield is a figure of speech. It's basically he's the pincushion. He goes out there and he just takes all the bullets that anybody wants to throw at the league, the owners, and it's his job, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to make sure that the league is not tarnished. he's going to take all the heat. So in terms of what his job is, he does a good job for the people that are paying him. But as a fan of the sport, I'd like to see a little bit better or a little more of an even playing field.
I was just going to say, you say better, I say consistent.
Yeah.
That's all. You know, like, let it be. If Tony throws a punch against a Dallas player, suspend Tony. If Tristan Hill throws a punch, regardless of when it is, suspend his ass. He deserves it, right? But make everybody deserve it. Make everybody across the board deserve it. Have you actually looked into all the fines that are given out over the course of the year? Like the actual like fines here and there, right? There's no consistent number. It's like CeeDee Lamb got fined like $11,000 for having his jersey untucked. Where do you come up with $11,000?
It was 15.
Whatever.
I know that because they asked him about
because it was more than what Rodgers got.
Aaron Rodgers' COVID fine.
Again, can you agree that that's a little bit crazy that Aaron Rodgers violated protocols, health and safety protocols, and he wasn't penalized more than a guy who untucked his jersey? Does that make sense to you? I know you're a Rodgers guy and I'm a Lamb guy, but like make any sense?
I don't think any of it makes sense. I don't think that Kirk Cousins was fined for violating the same health and safety protocols out in Minnesota, but that's another story as well. Look, Roger Goodell sucks as for the fans, but the owners love Roger Goodell, and I don't anticipate him being gone anytime soon. I think they just gave him a shitload of money. He makes like A-Rod
more
money.
He makes like ridiculous money, bro, and it's cringeworthy to know how much money he makes. But anyway, I'm not gonna keep talking about suspensions because I'm in it. I'm feeling it now because it's just like they hate the Cowboys. Jerry Jones helped the league. Jerry Jones improved the league more than Roger Goodell did from a financial step. Nobody would have their own rights to DraftKings or this or that or whatever they want without Jerry Jones stepping on toes, countersuing the league, winning all that money, winning that Super Bowl in 95. And then since then, they haven't won one since. So tell me who hates who. That's that. What?
You hate Goodell.
I hate Goodell. Let's take a little break. And when we come back, we got NFC, AFC playoff picture. And of course, the college football coaching craziness. Carousel. Yeah, it's like a carousel now at this point. We'll get into all that. Take a break. We'll be right back. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. All right, welcome back to the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Mattawan, New Jersey, your host Sturch and Gooch. And of course, be sure to head on over to flippingmadeeasy.com if you are into that. If you are into the whole flipping houses thing, real estate thing. Listen, I have like about 15 people that I know that are in real estate and they're real estate agents. I want you guys to educate yourselves. Head on over to flippingmadeeasy.com. Enter the promo code CHOP. You're going to get a risk-free all this stuff for nothing right now. You can go educate yourself. And if it's bad and you don't like it, guess what? Money-back guarantee. Bang. Money-back guarantee. So flippingmadeeasy.com. So NFC playoff picture, right? Because the Washington football team won yesterday, they are now the 7th seed, which aligns them right now, if the playoffs started today, with your Green Bay Packers, Gooch. How do you feel about that?
I love that.
Of course obviously, you love that.
Come on. Now
the Washington football team could barely move the ball. I get it. So that would be nice. From top to bottom, it's Arizona sticking there right now with the 1. Then you got the Green Bay Packers at 2, Tampa Bay 3, Dallas 4. The 5-6-7 is where it gets interesting. It's the Rams still, even with the three losses in a row. And then who is it currently? I know you're looking right at it, Gooch, right? Or no?
It's the Rams, 49ers, then Washington.
So the 49ers and now Washington. Now, out of those teams right now, can you see, like, if you had to make a, if you're looking in your crystal ball, right, and it's the end of January, are any of those teams, like, absolutely not going to be in the conversation? Like, do you feel like any of these teams are going to fall off completely?
No, I don't think any of them are going to fall off completely. I would say that the team with the highest likelihood to fall off is probably Washington. But the reason why they will be in the conversation no matter what through and through this year is because of the fact that the teams that are chasing them, Minnesota 5-6, Minnesota has a tough schedule, I would think, going forward. I know that they got Green Bay one more time on the road. Atlanta, I'm not buying in on Atlanta. New Orleans, I'm not buying in on New Orleans. I know Taysom Hill might be good for a gimmick win here or there. It's unfortunate that you might be the victim of that this
week.
Why
not?
But Trevor Siemian and Taysom Hill, that combination, however that it shakes out, isn't going to work. I don't think they're going to play Taysom Hill at quarterback more than they should, because if he does play quarterback, but if they play him for the rest of the season, they're going to owe him. It's like Taysom Hill. Are you?
Oh, that's right. He's got that funky
contract. Is he worth an extra $10 million to them to play quarterback for 6 weeks? I don't think so. And I look at Philly as the other team that I think has a legitimate chance. I think it's between, honestly, the final two spots in the NFC, I could see very confidently that two of the four teams will be the 49ers, the football team, Minnesota Vikings, or the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that any other team than that really doesn't have much of a shot.
I was going to say the Eagles because that was a team on paper that looked the best going in, right? And then they have this cupcake schedule where they're just going to McGregor walk the whole thing. But I don't think they do anymore because of what we just saw with the Giants.
Yeah, but
I can't call that an anomaly. They couldn't move the ball.
I'm going to call it – it's not an anomaly. They definitely have gaping issues, like huge pause issues in their in their game. There. But the reality is the teams that they play going forward also are bad. And a division loss – I'm not gonna write them off completely because I have seen more good football than not out of them the past month. You know, going into the Giants game, I looked at it as a trap game. I was, you know, I picked the Giants, and you were like, "Yo, you're gonna pick Philly. You pick them every week." Yeah, but they're really not the greatest football team. I picked them every week because I kind of like what they have going on. But I did notice that was just a bad spot to catch the Giants. I know that's a weird thing to say because the Giants are really that bad. Sense. But as far as the NFC goes, my prediction, it's going to be San Fran, Minnesota.
I like San Francisco. I do like the way they game manage. I like the way they run the football. If Eli Mitchell stays healthy, that guy can run all over you. And I think that the San Francisco 49ers will be the six, if I had to guess. Yeah. You know what? Bold prediction.
You're gonna go with the Rams as the six?
They're the five. The 49ers jump to the five, and then me and my boy Greg hate each other because the Cowboys will play the 49ers in round one. And that won't be good for any of us, either of us. There's Evan, there's your brother. I hate everybody in one week of football. But yeah, the 49ers get in. They might jump the Rams. The Rams are kind of reeling right now. The Odell Beckham factor is definitely a thing. I don't care what you say. He's in a locker room. That team is starting to implode. I love it. I'm here for it. I'm also here for all the who's going to score on this defense. The Aaron Rodgers was like, cool story. Let me just do this real quick, and then I'll get back to you with an answer towards the end of the night. So I like the 49ers. I cannot get behind the Vikings, considering the fact that right now they're 5-6, correct?
Yeah.
5-6. In the next 2 weeks, they got to go with Madison by himself. You know, and there's no Dalvin Cook.
But next week they're at Detroit. You know,
Detroit's got to win eventually, bro. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And honestly, I feel like Madison is really good.
He's good, and I have him in fantasy.
Proven
which
that he can carry
excited.
The load when Dalvin Cook has been out. Madison has been pretty much, they haven't missed a beat in the running game with Madison there.
According to Kyle Kerm, Scoop has a shirtless picture of Garoppolo in his bedroom. I heard per source that could be a thing. Yeah, and whatever you're into, Scoop. And I listen, Garoppolo's a stud. He really is a stud. And but yeah, Madison is capable, I think, of carrying the load. But I just think they have a little bit of a, I don't know. Minnesota, to me, after they lost to Cooper Rush, I was like, you know what? This team ain't for real. I'm sorry. Cousins, listen, I'm sure he can throw and he can sling, and he's got Jefferson and Thielen, and even Conklin's starting to turn on as a good, serviceable tight end. I think losing Cook, if they lose one more game, they're going to have eight losses. And for me, that's Like, and for those reasons, I'm out if I'm Mark Cuban.
No, go ahead. Right?
Like, that's how I feel. The other teams in the NFC, the Eagles, they should rebound. They got the Jets this week. Am I rooting for the Jets? Absolutely. Absolutely. According to Jimmy Palumbo, my son's already a Jets fan. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely rooting for the Jets heavy this week against Philadelphia. Knock them into oblivion. The Washington football team is interesting because I like another team that's going to be down a running back. McKissick carted off last night. That stinks because Gibson has been banged up all year long. And shout out to the Washington football team. What were they thinking? I think it was like third and one, and they brought in their third running back to try to. And I don't even know the guy's name. That's how bad it was. I was like, is that the guy's? What are you contributing to fresh legs on a third and one big play in the game? You're going to bring like Gibson's got to be the guy. If not Gibson, it was McKissick, and that was McKissick was still healthy at the time. But Washington is intriguing. Their defense is playing better than they played in the beginning of the year. They're still kind of, whatever. So it really is a toss-up. I won't put the Falcons in this conversation. So I guess by default, you know, you got to look at the teams that we mentioned. It's just a matter of who strike. Is there anybody else that I'm missing with like a four-win, five-win?
No, the Giants, Carolina, pretty much the entire
Giants, NFL. Carolina, forget it. You know, the Giants are trash bags, even if they won that game. They're still very, very deep.
No, I mean, Chicago, four wins. Yeah, no.
Chicago.
That's just, it. Every team we mentioned is all that's worth mentioning.
All right. So let's go with, let's move it on over.
To the AFC.
AFC playoff picture. As Scoop says, it's definitely not Jimmy G. It's Trey Lance in his poster above his bed. So the AFC. Obviously, there's a lot of things to talk about with the AFC because you're looking at the top seed right now is your Baltimore Ravens. Now, they didn't show you much. This past Sunday night, right? You're kind of wondering, like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, they're very one-dimensional. They don't have a running back, really. They have a committee, and I don't know. I don't know if I can get behind them in that regard. And then I can't get behind Lamar Jackson relying on the pass. So their defense has been playing better. I don't foresee them finishing as the one seed. I just don't see it. I don't know why. I got the Patriots kind of surging right now, so I'm very excited about that to see them. Even though it's like very, I feel dirty to say
fuck
that
the Patriots.
Right. I think we're on that.
Let's go Buffalo, baby.
All right. So right now the number one seed is the Ravens, right? Then the two is the Patriots, who are on top of the AFC East, and then three is you have in front of you, right?
Yeah, Tennessee, Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo.
Okay. Buffalo is the seven right now?
Yeah, six. And then the Chargers are the seven, sorry.
The Chargers at what, 6-5?
6-5.
Okay, so the Chargers are now, it just shows you the AFC is a little bit more competitive, considering the fact that their seven seed is above 500 at the very least, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have three teams that are 500, five teams that are 500 or better that are outside the playoffs right now. So five teams in the AFC 500 or better that are currently sitting outside the AFC playoff picture. And those five teams are the Raiders, the Broncos, the Colts, the Steelers, and the Browns. Honestly, looking at it, I only think one team has a legitimate chance to overtake the Chargers for the seventh spot. I think the AFC playoff picture is as competitive as it is. Looking at the teams outside, I think it stays pretty much largely the same with the Bills and with the Colts and the Chargers really pushing for that extra spot. I don't think Buffalo loses their standing either with New England or Buffalo being the four or the five seed or the five or the six seed. I think Cincinnati's kind of entrenched there as well, where they're looking like a guaranteed playoff team at this point. But when you're saying that, it's like, okay,
Cincinnati. Wait, so how many games is Cincinnati behind Baltimore?
Cincinnati's only one game behind Baltimore, but they're also only one game into the playoffs. So, like, they could lose this week and be out of the playoffs.
That's crazy.
They could win this week and be first place in their division. Like, it's the way it looks right now, Cincinnati could be the one seed in the AFC with a win and other things taking place for them. And they could be out of the playoffs entirely with a loss. So the AFC is completely loaded up. I mean, I wouldn't say they're loaded.
Anybody?
They're a bunch of parity in the AFC.
So, all right. So you look at the AFC playoff picture right now. Do you think there's any teams in any division leaders right now that you think below the division?
I mean, yeah, three.
All right.
Well, maybe not three, but I think that Baltimore has a legitimate chance to blow that division to the Bengals because I just don't know how to really read Cincinnati right now with they've had some really good wins and some really bad losses. But at the end of the day, they're a 7-4 team, and basing it off of the Packer game, they were in that game through and through. It took a couple missed field goals. by both teams. Packers ended up pulling it out, but I think the Bengals are a little bit more battle-tested than they have been in the past. Buffalo could easily overtake New England because they're essentially tied right now. No, they're not tied, but they're a half a game up.
And they play each other on Monday night.
Yeah, they're a half a game up on the Bills, the Patriots are. So they play this weekend. And
who's got the late bye?
And they have another game in December. Yeah, the Patriots haven't had their bye yet. It's just loaded up at the top. I'd say Tennessee is the only guarantee to win their division out of all the teams.
What are they up? Two games?
Two games. But they also beat up on the Colts. So
2.5. So vicariously, by law.
I'm not sure. They might have actually played twice and split. So
I don't know yet. But
no, the Titans beat them twice.
All right. So the Colts, I think, are the team to watch for the end of the year run. And I know I say this because I just watched them on Thanksgiving, but I like the Raiders. I think they could turn it around here. I think if Josh Jacobs gets going, I know what's his guy, week to week, Darren Waller's week to week, but I think they have something in Hunter Renfro, and I think that this offense can get going. That front, bro, between Ngakwe, whatever the hell his name is, and Max Crosby and the other guy, like, they can get to the quarterback, and I think by doing that, they can make a run here, and they can make a serious push to be the 7th seed. I truly believe that. But again, it's the NFL, and there's games to be played. But I like the Raiders, and I think the morale around Chop Studios will be good if the Raiders make the playoffs, considering the pick bitch is moving in 2 days. She's a Raiders fan. You got Tommy D as a Raiders fan. You got your other boy as a Raiders fan. Got my boy as a Raiders fan. Morale will be good. They already starched the Cowboys and beat them up and then, ended it in overtime. And I'm over it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But I like the Raiders, so we'll see.
I do like the Raiders as well. They've proven a lot of things to me. They've proven me wrong several times this year. They've proven me right several times. But just, I don't see them getting over the hump. There's some tough teams in their division because they're all above 500. And there's 3 division games left for them. I honestly think I'm going to make my bold prediction right now that the Chiefs end up the 1 seed in the AFC.
That's not that bold.
When it's all said and done. But look, it's not that bold. But right now they're sitting with a 2-4 conference record. So all 4 of their losses are in the AFC. But a lot of these teams have some tough schedules ahead, man. New England and Buffalo got to play each other twice. Tennessee, I just don't think they're that great of a football team right now.
Not without Henry.
Based on scheduling, they have a real chance at a 1 seed as well. Baltimore, I know that they got Cincinnati again. They got to play us coming off of our bye week. So
That's in Baltimore, though, right?
Yeah. Fuck Baltimore in Baltimore. I might go to that game.
Just ruining our fan base here. Who is just trying to get some listeners.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack.
All up in Jack's face right now.
It's fucking war now because I'm pretty sure that the Packers play the Bears first off their bye week, and then they play the Ravens. So we still got a week. My bad, Jack.
Is it right around the holidays? Right, Christmas time. We're just gonna
December 14th.
Okay, all right. Actually, you know what's funny? I have to think. He goes, let's go to the game. How about that?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's do it.
Jack wants to go to the game. I think that would be a real fun trip for the both of you guys together, just the two of you. Just kidding.
Also, Jack, have we met? No, we have met Jack a couple times, yeah.
Whatchamacall. I got to get my tickets for the Cowboys Giants. That's coming up in the middle of the year. Middle of December. Definitely want to go check that out. I have nobody to go with, considering my brother might be laid up. So I don't know if he's going to be able to go this year.
Where is it? The Cowboys-Giants game?
Yeah, it's in New York. Yeah, we already beat him up.
I just wasn't paying attention. I was actually thinking about going to Baltimore.
Get on your favorite source of tickets and information. Let's see. Lamar isn't a real quarterback. Keep dogging them. That might have been Jack, too. I don't know. He's probably pissed off, and we all going, actually. He wants to scoop a loop. Bring a green hat, Scoop, so you can come, too. All right, one more thing to talk about, because last night, right before, I actually brought up a nice little topic within the Chop Sports group, because a lot of people started to chime in about it, and that is Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, is hightailing it. I don't understand. Maybe it's because I'm not knee-deep in college sports, but can this happen? Mid-season?
Yes. It's
just
not,
leave?
It's end of season. It's not
mid-season. No, but aren't Notre Dame potential to be in
this
the playoffs?
This happens often in college sports.
Really?
And it's because of the fact that there's there's too much time. I think this is one of the problems with too much time in between the end of the season and the bowl game. But that's another story. And really, like LSU, they're in a rush. And I wouldn't say that they're in a rush, but you got to get your candidate, you got to hire them. because someone else will.
According to Pat Kenny last night, he said that commits and all that, like the recruiting stuff, is like starts December 1st. So like you have to have your guy in place to get the recruits and start your recruiting class and blah, blah, blah. So that makes sense. I just didn't think it was like appropriate timing. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, Brian Kelly is what, one win away from potentially being in a college football playoff? Can he not get to the playoffs? Is that a thing? Notre Dame, no go?
They're not going to make the playoff, but I think...
Now, is there like an interim coach?
But they're going to miss their bowl game, and honestly, I'm wondering how they're going to... Honestly, if I'm Notre Dame, I'm not letting them coach, period, at this point. You're going to LSU, so you could go on over to LSU and coach over there. The players, I think, is the people that hurt the most in this situation, but it's really one game. You're going to out and playing football. At the end of the day, you know, boo-hoo. This guy went out there and got paid. That's his job. His job is to provide for his family. He did that.
All right, so Brian Kelly down at LSU, go Tigers, right? And he's gone. That was one of my favorite coaches just because of his voice. Now, this leaves what Gooch likes to say a lot, a gaping hole in Notre Dame. Like, who's going to coach the Irish going forward? There's a lot of names that were brought up last night. Again, not the biggest college guy, so I can't really say, like, oh, that's a great suggestion. But there was, like, the Cincinnati coach, and then it was promoting from within. Some other guy said John Gruden. I was like, yeah, no. Catholic school, bad karma, juju, not going to happen.
It's going to be one of two guys, I think.
The Cincinnati head coach, possibly. That's a lot of people said him.
No, because he just got a huge deal. I think that there might be a way for him to get out of that. And I was going to say James Franklin, even though Penn State did offer him, they just signed him to a 10-year extension. But Jimmy Palumbo, we had the conversation where Jimmy was saying that he's going to leave for the USC job. He didn't take the USC job, and Penn State gave him an extension, but there's outs in that contract. If you read the fine print, which I didn't, but it was pointed out to me by one Jimmy Palumbo, that he could still leave. So anytime there's
sign a 10-year contract, you can get out?
Yeah, there's buyouts and shit like that, whereas it doesn't cost him any money. I don't know. I didn't really read the details of it, but I know for a fact that he's definitely going to be in the conversation for any major coaching vacancies, and if Notre Dame is going to pony up, I know Penn State's paying him, but if Notre Dame pays him more, there is the possibility that he'd rather be there.
Look at this. So Jack chimes in again. Last week, Kelly said to someone that he would give him $250 million to leave, and it would take $250 million to leave, and then he left for $95. These hoes ain't loyal. That's official. These guys just leave no matter what. Sauce, Sunday, December 19th. I'm in for the Cowboys-Giants games. Dina will be in Missouri. The Sauce will be on the loose. Kyle, don't threaten me with a good time, bro, because I'm all in on that. I just have to get tickets. So I have to go check to see how much the Giants fans have given up. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, the Giants are shit. Their tickets are, like, $8.
my brother's been to 4 Giants games this year, so.
That bothers me.
His girl's a Giants fan.
I get it, but it's like he's wearing Giants red, and it's just like, oh, what are you doing, bro? Ugh, gross.
Yeah, and that was my next guy. It's going to be Urban Meyer for leaving the Jags to go to Notre Dame. I could see that happening, too.
Didn't he already leave a college to go to another college? Like, this guy is the anti.
It's the way this whole thing works. But Urban Meyer, you know what? Best guy for the job for Notre Dame is probably Urban Meyer. As much as I hate him, he's a really good college football coach. He's a great recruiter. And
I guess he's had some success,
right? If you look at where he's been, they've all been, he's left him in, I wouldn't say better spots, but he brings him to a better spot than they were before he got there.
There was a joke that went around last night. Somebody also used it today, that the Notre Dame job opening is the second best thing this year to fall into Urban Meyer's lap.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. I like it. I do like it.
And there is some rumblings about Kingsbury.
Kingsbury to Oklahoma was a thing. They started talking about it. That's the job he wanted from jump, and Lincoln Riley hightailed it out to LSU, USC, right? That's another one we should be talking about. Like, USC, how did you scoop up Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley seemed like a lifer. He wouldn't leave for nothing. The Dallas Cowboys definitely were in conversation with Lincoln Riley about being the next head coach before they hired McCarthy. You know what I mean? And, like, all of a sudden, he just hightails it out of here. Now there's another hole in LSU. Not LSU, Oklahoma. See, I'm, like, all over the place.
I do think Kingsbury, there's a chance that he leaves, man. I really do.
His contract is up at the end of this year.
I think that Arizona is going to make the effort to keep him. But of course, because of what you said, it being his dream job, and the way he answered the question in the press conference was very, very vague, and he definitely left it open to interpretation on what he was talking about. He says, I don't want to talk about that right now. But he did say...
He didn't deny
it. Right now. He didn't shut it down. He didn't do, oh, it'll take $500 million. He didn't name his price, because I think if he names his price, they're probably going to throw it at him. So we'll see. I think there's a lot going on in the NFL, and it's definitely a distraction, and I'm here for it because they're sitting atop the NFC right now.
Apparently, USC bought Lincoln Riley's two houses over asking price, and then they also bought him a new house in Cali to get him out there. So this is like Dion Badeau, like straight up just buying him shit to get him out there. But yes, Tim, I like this, Tebow 316. Maybe he joins the Notre Dame coaching staff. You want to talk about a perfect fit for a Christian, like that would be a Tebow.
I think
fit.
That there's too much money in other things for Tim Tebow to be a position coach for any college.
But he can coach tight ends. He was so good at it.
That's true. That's true, but I think he's getting paid a little bit more by whatever fucking college football pregame show that he's doing.
It's funny you bring that up, the college football game day staff, right? Which apparently is the greatest pregame show in the world. I don't really watch it. I don't get into it, but according to people, it's like must-see TV. I see the panel, right?
I don't want to sit there and watch Lou Holtz fumble over his words.
Lou Holtz! And like, no, I ask you this question, right? It's so funny because it's like Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush. Then it was Charles Woodson. They were at the Michigan game. Charles Woodson. And then it was somebody else. Brady Quinn was there. And I'm just like looking at this panel. And I'm just like, this whole panel, besides Charles Woodson, who was sitting dead center because Michigan guy, he's a Hall of Famer. Besides him, I'm like, this is a panel of just failed NFL athletes.
You said Reggie Bush is a failed athlete?
I think so.
No.
Reggie
Bush had a really good career.
I mean, look, when you look at Reggie Bush, as the grand scheme of things, like, yes, was he electric? Did he win you a lot of fantasy games? Sure, but, like, look at his career. I don't know how good it was.
It was pretty good.
I don't know, man.
When we're talking about a guy that was touted,
he ain't a Hall of Famer.
Not
even in the conversation.
Bro, if you play 10 years at running back in the NFL, you had a good career. That's all.
I don't know.
Maybe he was not a worth a fifth pick overall or whatever.
I don't know. And somebody asked, "Does Reggie have a ring?" I don't know if he was on that team with Drew Brees when they won that thing. I'm not sure. I don't think he was. So, like, I don't know, man. Reggie, I don't know. It's weird. Reggie Bush falls in that category of, like, guys you really liked when he was playing, but then, like, at the end of the day, he's not in the conversation of any top backs of all time. You know what I mean? Like, he's just fades into black. I don't know. Whatever. It is what it is.
Yes, he does have a Super Bowl ring.
He does. Okay. Oh, that's fine. But, yeah, so then I think Desmond Howard was there. Another one who's like, yes, he won a Super Bowl MVP because he ran the kickback. But, like, yeah, not the greatest NFL career. I don't think he was on that panel. But it just brought it up. And there's... Again, one of those things. What do we got tonight, Gooch? Do we have a epic NBA matchup to talk about real quick? And that's the Knicks and the Nets. Huge matchup, only because it's the Knicks and the Nets. And that's where we all clash here at Chop Sports. There's a bunch of Nets people, a bunch of Knicks people. Last year was a lot of fun going down the stretch. So the Knicks and the Nets get down tonight. I know if you want, I'm sure it'll be involved in Kyle's picks. We could talk about that because I'm pretty sure Kyle will be in the house tomorrow. I think he said Wednesday. So we'll talk about that. We got a full slate to go into tomorrow. And as we're moving towards week 13 already in the NFL. So these are your final 2 weeks in fantasy. It's time to nut up and get some wins. That'll really wrap it up for today. I mean, I don't have anything else. As far as recordings go, again, tomorrow, all about the star drops. I have a guest coming in. We'll talk some shit about the Saints for a little while. And shout out to Craig, who is my boy. Don't get me wrong. Big Saints fan. Asked me today on my way out of the gym. He's like, you want to go out for the Cowboys-Saints game? I said, I haven't been out for a Cowboys game in a bar in like 5 years. And that's by design, man. I can't do it anymore. I don't want the negative juju. I don't care if they, like, honestly, they lose. I'm mad. But I'd rather be mad around the people that I love, you know, who could level my head out a little bit so I don't have to worry and just want to punch everything in sight.
Scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you? Realistically speaking.
Realistically speaking, with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper back and Zeke playing, there's no rest or anything like that. That was, like, shut down by Zeke, by the staff. Their offense should get rolling, I think, this week. I want to say scale of 1 to 10, give me a 7. Give me a 7. I'll stay right there.
I expected to hear more, but I think...
No, because Taysom Hill and all this other shit. Like, yeah, dude, I'm just... Agita. I don't want... Yeah, it's agita is the perfect word because he's just going to make my night a living hell. Kemba Walker was benched, and that's why I brought up the Knicks and Nets. Is he a trade guy? Like, he's got a $9 million contract. I don't know what
he's going to bring to the table for any team. What do you need, a scorer off the bench? If he's going to take that role, but that's an
$9 million
scorer off the bench. Kemba, I thought that was a real bad signing for the Knicks. I just thought it changes their identity.
When it comes to the money, though, it really wasn't.
Yeah, but he's not a guy that's going to play defense, and he's a point guard that doesn't pass. that's just a bad equation for a team that's run by Coach Thibodeau. That's my opinion. And I thought it when they signed him, and it's coming to fruition now. So I guess I know the NBA more than you.
It's probably true. Somebody actually chimed in. You lost me at NBA. Have fun, boys. I don't know who that was, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we had to cover all of the sports here in America. But anyway, let's wrap it up. Let's definitely set up these lights. I'm definitely excited to see what this all is going to look like. The grand scheme of things, we are just days away. Actually, tomorrow, December 1st, Dina, the Chops, the Sauce Network, everybody, they're coming in. It's a big party. Not really a big party, but it's going to be fun. I can't wait. Let's get it done. And I hope you guys have a great day. And go subscribe, please, to the YouTube channel, which has grown since Kyle's been on. So obviously he's the draw. He's the main event. So Kyle, we appreciate you for that. Maybe let your listeners know tomorrow to chime in as well. So for Sturch and Gooch, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. We will see you guys tomorrow on a hump day.
Best team in football, Dave. Who is it?
Best team in football right now, if I had a gun to my head, is the Green Bay Packers. I didn't do that to appease him either. I know, I just, this is where I'm at. That's where I'm at.